They're reading your new attention. If you're like me, every so often you come across a note or a phrase of some sort that will stick to your brain, like a refrigerator magnet. And like a refrigerator magnet, it just sits there. Why? Why did it take there for years? Why is there? Well, patiently waiting for us to use it. But the time in my life where I live with one of his clients, and there's a time where I wouldn't have told you that I read an English clerk book. But no faith in that. But I don't care about that stuff anymore. The following quote is from an English clerk book, and I know the depth of meaning lives in the refrigerator of my mind. The characters in these words were spoken with an avid runner, but I didn't know how to read the book when Samuel Clark's was an avid runner in high school and in college. And it makes me wonder if it's true that these words that I felt like an avid in my mind, if they were something that suddenly spoke into your life, and became a magnet on his refrigerator. Anyway, I read this one item. I like the magnet, I would like it, and there it is, and stuff there ever since waiting for me to do it. Make sure you're running toward something, not away from something. You can put that one up on your refrigerator. But I went to that meeting 100,000 years ago. I preached to a little congregation in Raleigh, West Virginia, and that is really, really just one of those places that you cannot go or you'll miss. Some people talk about there being only one stop sign in town or one traffic light in town. They're not going to town in Wallace, much less a stop sign or a stop sign. They would be really big in the city if that was not part of it. This little congregation, this precious congregation, let me preach to them, recognizing them for 16 months. And they are really, along with Dan and our own congregation, had a big part in me making the decision to go to preaching school. Well, even though at times I already went to preaching school. But very long time ago, there was one of these older ladies. And every so often, he would say to me, "You need to drink more on health. The church needs to hear more sermons about health." Well, that's probably what he's talking about. Yeah. Talking about that all these years. I'm not sure what the motivation was for saying that. I don't know what after I'm nervous or whatever. But that was a good time when the church was strong. But we were getting there on something else because it would be between 12 and 15 people, and we were two or three of those people. Christians sometimes would say that my parents were our home congregation, and just saying that we'd go a few nights and come with us. But she grew up at home. I'm sure the church was a lot stronger than I was. In fact, I'm sad to say that there wasn't a congregation anymore and all that stuff we're doing. And during that time, I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but based on the experiences and things that I read, there probably were a few more hell sermons in those days.
and it's not a little more normal to hear that sort of thing. So maybe we're going to mirror that correlation and population kind of thing. So we're bringing more out now than what we were told to believe. 3,000 in a person, we have a course of a sanctuary community, but we just don't do it on hell enough. That's not even, you know, the subject I've heard that about. We don't read on this, we don't read on this, we don't read on this, on that, on that, on this, and this, and everybody has a thousand ways to do that. And it is best to think of this, trying to keep it, not make it at all possible. We have to teach the quotations 48 to 49, 7 to 0 on Sunday morning. We're also telling 48 or 49 Sunday nights to believe. And it all turned into this there. And we'd be competing on Wednesday and other times as well. I know that we talk about hell and grace and life rightly and doing the Holy Spirit all the first night as well. Those people certainly weren't all the priests on hell. I mean, you can't read the Bible and be honest with it and not preach on hell. What have you done? We all know that there's more than just the news. In fact, I was glad to be able to be voted. I didn't know if there was any degree that the reason why there is good news at all is because there are bad news and it's pretty bad. Maybe that's 51% of what makes the good news so good. The bad news is so bad. But if you're not going to do anything for us, if you're good for the day, well, the good news will be that. But we have something better to talk about. That's why we have to call the gospel, by the way. I'm sure many of you know, some of you may not know, but that's what gospel is. It's literally good news. Glad tidings. Good stuff. That's what the angels were singing to the shepherds in Bethlehem. That's what we just got like. And you hear a couple of months ago, God tidings, comfort and joy. Somebody can be comforted with it. Didn't you say so? I've looked at numerous sources. I know one of those sources was the little book, Death as a Witness, and I was pointing for it last week, and I couldn't find it. It's back there somewhere, and I'm almost certain one of you, but I couldn't find it. It's probably in the library, I think, but I don't remember the author. Maybe it's the power to give you God every time you ask. There was a day when people used to put the middle of the all the time. He was a great guy, but don't quote him. But I read in that book that Jesus thought more on the hell than he did on prayer. There was a commandment for the church. It's not that we don't really know. We don't actually know that Jesus taught more on hell or prayer. We just know what the Holy Spirit reported more. There's a lot of people watching you can teach me as well. Let's see this in your eyes. We need to hear more about hell and how we preach more on hell. What church needs to hear more the sermons on hell? And so we need to make an idea out of that. I'll give you an idea to fill up. I would put it up on the refrigerator back here or on the house. But I'm reminded of the fact that they have a thing saying to the church. Here it also says I was going to see the church. And by the way, before I go into this, what's your thing you want to think of a good old fashioned turn on wall? Basically, you are not to put it on hell unless enough people are punching the pews and riding up on the edge of the seat. We'll get there in just a minute. I'm going to tell you something that I think is going to be more work on than what you're not going to do about that. So we're going to get there. But here it is. Where should more of the emphasis be put? In preaching, when there are prophecies and there's nothing that they say about people in Christ since, therefore, we have already outside. How this way? Much more shall we be saved by them. For from the wrath of God.
Romans 5.
There should be a bit more of the emphasis in our preaching. Can heaven save souls to run away from hell? Do we have Jesus brought a lot of people? For a man being saved there, he can run away before heaven. Because of that, we have promised in the lessons in the question. What are we justified by the word of God? Simple yes or no. Will we then be saved from hell through him? Did we spend hours of study and prayer and praise the Lord, loving and pleading and praying for people to come to Jesus Christ? You know how life-changing he really is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how comforting he is, how incredible is the scope of his grace. To finally at last persuade them to obey the doctrine of Jesus Christ and then spend the rest of their lives telling them over and over again about where they were to save from. I can't even say that word in Christians are pretty things. They come in Christians who guard their hearts and this is encouraged Christians to guard their hearts and their motives. Of course that's true. I think you've heard me say, I've said it many times, but if faithfulness doesn't matter as a saint, then why do you have to be in the ever need to be living? If it's finally an after the gospel, it really is in the gospel, of course, it's an officer. But finally, after the arrival of Christ and the assumption that we obey the gospel of Christ, the whole rest of the New Testament isn't letters saying, stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful, and ending with Jesus saying, and let us just be saying, please, stay faithful, even if it costs you your life. So, the fact is, hearing me that I'm saying is so great, be faithful, be faithful. We should. We ought to. All of that inquiry, as the scripture teaches anything that it does, whatever it teaches, it all is anchored by whatever else it also teaches. And sometimes forgotten. Sometimes forgotten in our flesh. To get people to take it seriously. To take eternity seriously. To take the horror of trials seriously. We forget it for the Christian, for the saint. We're just dying. We're just doing our very best every day to love God and to love the neighbor of himself. We're not the same as most people sitting here right now. We forget that there's always an ancient picture. Like 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17. By this love affected us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. It's not fear in the world. But perfect love, or love perfected, lost out to you. For fear has to do with punishment. Is there other fears? That's not been perfected in love. Well, that's your new negative process. Should we be working from fear all the time? Should we be working from fear more? Or should we be working from love? Should we be working from fear under the premise of the sermon, the saints, and the guilty, and the fact that they were over God's eyes, that they have to be saved and saved? Or should we be working on the premise that people are actually sincere in their devotion to God, and we'd be encouraged to keep on going? God's big man was on the bridge. Like Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is no eye that is in Christ. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. There is no in Christ. For those who walk by faith, blessed according to the Spirit. Isn't that motivating too? And don't get me wrong on this one, people. Because we save God's people to fly, we can do that. But we can. We can get lazy. We can get comfortable. We can get satisfied with making sure the pew is warm on Sunday morning. We can get satisfied with our things. God's lambs humble themselves sometimes. They need rescue. There are some signs in the flock whose hearts particularly be irritated with shepherds. I'm one of them. But sheep need guidance. They need leading. You don't put them in the rod every single time they leave. You love them. And you guide them. And you encourage them. And you lead them. Sheep don't be watching if you wait it all the time. That sort of thing. That sort of thing. Work well when it's there to be used. When it's the default, when you just get fear all the time. Do you like that? Do you like that in your workplace? Is it work really well for you? It works really well at the end. I've got fear with everything. What was that about? Sometimes silence. Sometimes I'm silent. What would happen if we preachers reminded the church more often about the discrepancies, the remaining, the slave, the covered, the paid for, the blood bought? Are those words mean anything? The rescue. What if at least the one the Spirit does, and then the point of knowledge that the Spirit uses, we remind the church to keep on marching and keep on walking faithfully in love with pure heart, with pure motives. But they run away from condemnation, not just keep running away, but they're running away. They're coming from it. This, let me remind you, Satan, that even though Satan stands as God of people, there's no law of God. And so it is. Not only does Satan stand as God of people, but God prosecutor. He's right. He's right. This one did that, that one did that, this one did that, look what they did, this one did that, this one did that. That is a fact. He got mad in there. He died Jesus. But you know what else also doing? That the book of Revelation tells us that God, the accuser of the brethren, has been cast down by the river. Thank God you and I don't stand before the Word of God with something saying, well, there's nothing to do, there's nothing to do, you know what they're all about, and I've got nothing to say. And you've got nothing to say. That accuser has been thrown down by the Lord. I couldn't say that. What happens if you're reminded each other of things like that? You think that would just drag you to the sea? Let me remind you, Satan, regularly, that just as we join together when we go, in the chorus of saints around the Lord's table, and singing praises to our God, and thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that as we do that every Sunday, we keep reminding you, we keep reminding you that one day, we do this one day a week, that one day, that the inheritance, that eternal rest of sin, all of which is the precursor and a reminder of when we were praying the prayers of all the saints of all time, through all the holy angels of God around his throne, forever and ever and ever. What would happen? What would happen if we were in the face of the Spirit regularly reminded that we're being different sins and religion are remembered by God and the Lord? Not because God is corrupted, but because he changed it that way in his Son. Don't we remind the saints that there is, in fact, a great day coming? A great day coming. A bright day for them.
that love the Lord. What if? What if Jesus thought so much about him so that those who were really missed him could really hear something else? And what would happen if while we were doing all of this, while we were tearing back with each other, and rejoicing together, and encouraging one another, and building one another up, and encouraging our faithfulness in love, not really running away from stuff, but running toward our God, our Father, that having God to give that, other people in our midst to our soul, to hear that. I'm not saying we shouldn't treat them. Please don't hear this. Okay. There's hopes. It has to be done. It's true. I hope the people that need to be convicted, and what about the people that need to be brought along? What about the people that need to be threatened a little bit? Saved! You're out of themselves! Where are they? There may be some here. I hope not, but there might be. But what would happen in those moments where we spend the time talking about what glorious day it's going to be? Are they not going to realize? Are they not going to realize that we sat with prayer about the victory that we have in Christ, that they can't talk there? That they can't say that? That that's not prayer and possession? That they don't like praise? Is that not going to be incredibly convicting? And that's weakest probably that when we say it, or when we sing it. Encouraging faith that we do in the faith and the poverty, that leads to conviction. But of course, we need to treat them more, but what about the comfort of trusting God? What about the power of God to save? We're not saying about that after the removal. We're not saying we have it all. Now, when you came to me at home, look, I'm green. But we could not be better. You know it now. I think sometimes my mortal fear of falling away from the Lord. Maybe we've not been encouraged enough to stand in the Lord. We're dealing with those things. Stand back in the liberty with which Christ has come to free. What would happen if we put up a few more magnets of the assurance and comfort and peace and joy that the Spirit has given us and that Christ has given us? Maybe if we put up over here at the same port of preaching of the world, maybe we could run away from hell all the time. If we do that, what kind of message are we sending to the Spirit? No wonder then if people feel less like they're running for something and more like they're constantly running away from something. We run away from something that we know when we come to the cross. And it's really important. You know, when you were little, and you may not have realized it then, maybe you realize it when you get your insurances and you were pregnant. It's kind of realizing at what point in your life that you sort of envision the advantage of God, especially your colleagues, the way that you can try to look in the clouds. I would call it funny when I lived there and was here, worked there on the Arkansas Mountain. But how Garrett always thought that Glenn was God, and he was really quite different from me. But for me, it's just when you're in your rooms, you look at your parents and God. And even as an adult, you can look back on it and you can think to yourself, maybe you could get somebody else to stay back and never really come in. Or you feel about something and you dream about something and you go, but if I had done something like that, how would I want to have what you mean? Right? And then you come in that window and you realize, oh, my. All of my boys, do well, which you need to know them. Well, all of our world is expected by Chris Young to go up from there. And I remember when Christy got all of them, they got 16, when we became by eye to eye. And then the dynamic just changed, just like it was. But Tim was kind of with the brilliant, and he was no more managing it. Then he got more submission by voice. I just want to come up with another guy. But I think they also came to a really good team, and it's the same on the album, because I think they're going to do this. I'm not sure, I'm not sure. And that means you simply grow. I remember, and I thought God would tell me, but I realized how well that I don't know. What God really wanted was that if I lived, what he really wanted was one day to be my friend. But you can't really track words, and you can't go backwards. And you can't for a moment that if you're only a friend, then they're little. You may not have a friend when you're older. But if you're bad, then you're dead. The more likely to have friends when you're older. And what God wants more than anything, and by the way, we're going to utilize all of this to talk about something. He's seen the word Father over 150 times in the Gospels. That's not some verbal formula. That's a reality he's wanting us to embrace by God. But he's our Father. And what he really wants for is our friendship. Small observation. I don't know ways to say something to God's love. But the middle is the context of the eternal. I thought you could say in short order and in reverse order. But God exists, and I believe does, within the heaven. And that's the whole Bible is talking about heaven and hell in the same breath. And we can work in describing both with this endless. Second, on a conscious matter, if they don't care what they experience, then there is no hell at all. Here's why she's talking about hell really as well. The fact that I would call somebody going to be there to hear it. The same word conscious. And that would be no reason for people to stand and talk about it. And so finally, it's a really old one. All right, I promise you, you'll be able to see this stuff. Hell is severely limited by the nature of the world. It's also severely limited by the word trial or anything like that. The only thing in this world is only the size of that. And it won't be. I mean, it'll be enough because that's what we have. We have everything, so we can make things and we can work and we can find what we know. These are dismissed relations of hell because our images and our thoughts and our ideas about it can seem to be very popular cartoons and we could turn it into that in some ways as well. But that's not what that wants to do. It's because language is actually, in reality, really capable of conveying to each other. It's just about things God. Violating the terminology of action, where the language is being separated from God eternally. It's about blessing to be God. But God doesn't do it. God doesn't do it. But this failure, that conveying idea, it's not enough that they even try to represent what Jesus was conveying.
When you look at every valley of hell, there's a hell of it. Or what Jesus called the hell. When you look at that valley outside the roof, and the hell of it is turning, and now it's falling, and it's not returning. And so this place is about powerful for everything that's going to happen. But where is within that terminology? It's a reality that even though we can't fully express, it's not that that is real. It's that our flesh is going to be. We only operate as though we're giving our name.
It works.
And I'm going to go to the next one.